Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star followed by two. Please press star one to begin. Your first question comes from the line of Terry Darling with Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
I guess question for Jeff Zucker first. Jeff, I wonder if you could put a little more color around the question of synergies.
Sure. Well, you know, I think the key is there's not a tremendous amount of synergies built into the deal plan. Having said that, I think that'll give us an opportunity for some upside here, because I think one of the things that we've been able to do at NBC Universal is drive real synergies between our businesses, between cable and broadcast, between our cable entertainment, cable news, in the sharing of resources. I think if you think about the Comcast businesses and what we can do with E! And Style in combination with our cable entertainment assets, particularly Bravo and Oxygen and iVillage, there's a real opportunity there. If you think about what we can do with NBC Sports and Golf and Versus, there's a real opportunity there. The regional sports networks and our local TV stations, an opportunity there. So though we're not counting on it to make this work, I think that the upside comes from what we've really shown a real ability to do, which is to drive synergy. Synergy hasn't been a dirty word at NBC Universal, and I think that as we go forward with the combination of these two businesses, I think that's really where our strength lies and our ability to find synergies there, and I think that opportunity exists.
Okay, helpful. And then, you know, maybe a question for Keith. The $13 to $15 billion of CFOA for 2010, I'm sure we're going to hear more detail about that in a couple of weeks, but I'm wondering if, Keith, you might put a little more color around some of the items kind of below the net income level. Because I think that's a number, you know, at least relative to where we're published, that's above where we're published, and I think others as well. So things like working capital, pension, can you give us any color on those items at this point?
Well, pension will be included in net income, obviously. Working capital, we've had a good performance this year. Our businesses, as you know, we laid out a forecast of $14 to $16 billion last year in the fall, and that required us to be able to generate cash from working capital to offset any declines in progress, and we've exceeded our plan. We're going to be at the high end of the range there. So Jeff's going to cover at the December meeting, you know, the 13 to 15 forecast and how we think about working capital in 2010. But, you know, we're going to build on the operating disciplines that we've run an operating council, as you know, every month here with a big focus on cash by the teams on everything receivables, inventory, payables, and progress. And we'll give you another update of that at the Jeff meeting in 2 weeks, Terry.
Okay. And then lastly, Jeff, I wonder if you can put maybe some color on priorities in that capital deployment opportunities bullet point that you mentioned. Obviously, the Areva deal has passed here. But as you look across the various pieces of your infrastructure businesses, maybe where you're most optimistic, perhaps, about those opportunities?
You know, Terry, I think in some ways the Areva deal was a good example because, it showed that we're willing to spend the money. It was on strategy. We were disciplined about it. I think that's indicative of how I view it. I don't think we can be patient and see how the world evolves over the next, 18 months. I think there's going to be opportunities. When I look at it, Terry, I think we've got opportunities across the big infrastructure businesses, aviation, energy, oil and gas, healthcare, water. I think all of those are kind of green light businesses on the right terms in the right way. I would say, something that kind of in its own way was largely overlooked just because of all the other things was the joint venture in avionics we did in China about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
That's a game changer, and that's a little bit of capital from us. It's a little bit of capital in China, but it creates an entity that is a competitive, really game changer. And so I think there's going to be lots of global opportunities in infrastructure as we think about the company going forward.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Tusa with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
How does the 20% premium to public value, how does that mechanism work going forward?
Well, there's a formula, and the bank, we would each get an appraiser. So say in year 3.5, we decided to redeem. we would each have an appraiser, and if they were close enough, that'd be fine. If there was a difference, there'd be another appraiser that came in to get a public market value. We would add a 20% premium to that, and then you have to compare that amount to the formation value of, for our 49% stake, Steve, $14 billion, and 50% of the appreciation would be taken off of that 20% premium value to determine what the value is, the redemption value of our stake.
Right, and then just to make it clear, you know, over time, as it is today, you mentioned the $14 billion plus the 10 you're bringing in cash. I mean that kind of, you know, makes you whole on the total value that you're, you know, expressing today of your share of the, you know, $30 billion, which is, you know, close to the 24. That is the right, you know, valuation that could ultimately go to GE in a, you know, in a pure cash form if all this stuff plays out.
Well, that's the value of formation. What we're expecting is that there'll be appreciation. I mean, we expect
right appreciation, but today, if everything happened today,
yeah, I think that's right. That's how you get
the way
to
we
the
think
30.
Of it today. Yeah,
30 less than
right.
50. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then I don't want to steal any thunder from next week's meeting, but you talked about operating metrics in GE Capital improving. You know, can you just maybe flesh out what you're talking about there, or do we have to wait till next week?
I think it's better to let Mike and the, you know, and the team go through it next week. But, you know, again, I think, Terry, just if you look at, you know, how we're expressing the income maintenance agreement in 11, it gives you a sense of, you know, kind of where we think losses will happen and the parameters we've gave you in the July meeting. But I think Mike can give you all the details around it and add more color. I just wanted to put, you know, why we did the transaction in context. You know, I think this
right.
is all about playing offense vis-a-vis how you think about GE going forward. And that's really what I want our investors to have a real sense for today.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Good.
Our next question comes from the line of Jeff Sprague with Citigroup.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, morning, Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff, first, just as it relates to the portfolio, I'm sure you wouldn't like to name names, but in terms of thinking about streamlining to the downside before you move forward with new opportunities, how far along are we in the process? Obviously, C&I comes to mind, and we know we're shrinking GE Capital. But it, you know, as you look at the portfolio, is kind of the reshaping basically in plain view to us on the outside looking in now?
I think it is, Jeff. You know, again, I think, you know, what we've talked about in capital is what we're executing on. And then I think if you look at, you know, sweet spot, you know, those businesses are really in place. And then there's conversation about consumer industrial. What I would say on that, Jeff, is that the businesses are executing very well. There's a you know, quarter-by-quarter improvement in all those businesses. You know, the big pieces of them fit our eco-imagination theme and things like that. And so I would really look at the portfolio today as being very stable, you know, with the execution vis-a-vis of what we outlined in GE Capital, but really a pretty stable portfolio.
And then just thinking about the capital deployment, obviously there's likely to be some investor anxiety about how productively that gets deployed over time. Are you considering, or has there been any change in just kind of, the deal metric process, or, you know, kind of the tailing responsibility maybe to the buying entity inside the company, things like that, to just kind of put tighter screws on, you know, kind of all the math and all the due diligence and execution around acquisitions?
Right now, I think Trevor's locked his arms around me. And but, you know, Jeff, I think we've got lots of cash. We're not counting on any deals getting done to hit the numbers that, you know, we'll show to you. And I just think we are going to see some opportunities that in a disciplined, shareowner-friendly way we can execute on in the next 12 months. And if we don't, we'll do something productive for our investors with the capital. And, you know, really, Jeff, I have to defend myself a little bit. That's the way I've always thought about, you know, the company and an investor way. But I think the good news for our investors is we've just got tremendous financial flexibility, I think, at a very good moment in time.
And then just one final thing. You know, the infrastructure push obviously makes sense. It's kind of the core of GE. I mean, one of the global tensions, obviously, is actually capital and financing issues. And so you have a little bit of a tug-of-war, maybe cross missions is too strong a word internally, but what is your appetite to actually use some of this increasing financial flexibility actually, you know, to grow parts of GE Capital, particularly as it relates to infrastructure finance?
Well, Jeff, we actually have enough capital in GE Capital and enough growth opportunity in GE Capital to fund the things that we need to do in energy financial services or GECAS, even healthcare. So, you know, one of the redeployment activities going on under the surface of GE Capital is as we take proceeds out of the runoff businesses, like the global mortgages, for example, at very high leverage, we can invest back into those core GE Capital businesses that are connected to GE, part of the domain of GE, energy, aviation, healthcare, at lower leverage and have quite a bit of capacity. So, you know, Mike Neal and the team around energy infrastructure, around aviation, you know, we have cash and capacity in GE Capital itself as we shrink GE Capital. It's part of the operating plan. We don't anticipate that we would use any of this parent cash for any type of growth activity in GE Capital.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Nigel Coe with Deutsche Bank.
Thanks. Good morning.
Hey, Nigel.
I want to say congratulations, but it feels like old news. But
understand.
So I just wanted to really dig into maybe I didn't see anywhere about the board composition for the new venture. Maybe just talking to about that and, you know, any significant veto rights you have, you know, anything around, you know, your shareholder protection.
Well, we're going to have a significant stake, obviously, 49%. We have many protections around our investment at the venture. The board will be comprised of five people. On the G side, it will be Jeff Immelt and myself. And until we go below 20%, we have significant protections around capital allocation or significant changes in business strategy. But Comcast will be consolidating the business and running the business.
Okay. And on the capital allocation, it sounds like the capital is going to be used to deliver the balance sheet of the new venture and then use that capacity then to buy back your stake over time. Is that correct?
That will be the first priority. This obviously generates a lot of free cash flow. The enterprise, the cable channels specifically, are the heart of that. And that gives the venture flexibility not only pay down debt, but also generate capital to either redeem us or also growth capital. We have growth capital in the plans for the pro forma for the joint venture.
Okay. And then switching gears to the accounting, I mean, how do you account for NBC in the meantime? Is there still going to be a segment, or do you?
Sure. Nothing will change until closing. We will continue to consolidate and report 100% of the. We report 80%, obviously. None of that changes. And then upon closing, we would not consolidate, and then we'll just have the equity earnings going forward for our 49% stake. But there won't be a recast. It'll probably come down into a corporate segment, the equity earnings.
Okay. And then a final one for me on the antitrust review. You mentioned up to 12 months. You also mentioned some international reviews. Can you just confirm that the EU will be reviewing this case? And can you maybe just talk about the scope of their review?
You know, I'm going to have to leave that to the Comcast and the regulatory team. I don't have any specific knowledge of what the EU reviews are going to be. I know that we're planning on extensive regulatory reviews. We've got the FCC plus either the FTC or the Justice Department here, and we're planning on wherever we have a global presence, which NBC Universal has a lot of, obviously, filing wherever we need to internationally. I don't have any specifics about an EU review. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
Yep.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Steven Winoker with Sanford Bernstein.
Good morning.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, just a few questions. First, just to be crystal clear, there's no intention to put any capital into GE Capital other than the income maintenance agreement, right?
That's the policy and plan today, yes.
Completely clear, Steven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second, on the dilution, 5 cents of dilution that you mentioned, how does the minority interest? That's before the minority interest, or how are you thinking about that?
No, I think 5 cent dilution would be from today. We own 80% of NBC Universal. After closing, we'll own 49% of this new co. So it's a larger entity because it also includes the cash flow from the Comcast contributions of the media assets, partially offset by the leverage impact. So at the end of the day, what we would say is 80% of NBC Universal in 2010 compared to 49% of NewCo in 2011 would be about a 5-cent after-tax impact.
So basically what you're saying is that includes the benefit of the minority interest you're retaining and versus how you report. Okay.
Sure.
And then on the tax side, tax leakage here, or what's the tax? What are the tax implications?
Well, we have we'll have a pre-tax gain, and we'll have a tax provision that we'll record from a book basis. We don't anticipate paying any cash taxes at closing, but sometime, you know, between closing and the ultimate exit, whether it's at the end of 7 years or longer, we'll probably have around $3 billion of cash taxes that we would pay associated with this transaction. You know, it's probably over the next 7 to 10 years.
Okay. Okay. And then finally, just making sure I'm looking at the multiples correctly, given the overall multiple you're paying for this, it implies, and what Comcast is putting on the their nets, it implies about a 14.5 times, I think, EBITDA multiple for the cable nets, which means that you've got about an 8 times multiple on everything else, studio, broadcast, TV, park. Am I thinking about that correctly, or are you guys looking at that differently?
I don't have really pieces for you. I think, you know, we're somewhere in the 10 to 11 range on an EBITDA multiple, we think.
On total NBCU.
On the total NBCU.
Yeah.
So you can split up the pieces the way you want, but in total we're thinking somewhere around 10 to 11, Stephen.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Trevor Schomburg for closing remarks.
Great. I'm glad we were able to cover everyone's questions today. Just a few housekeeping items as we close out. The replay of today's webcast will be available this afternoon. As a reminder, we'll also host our third G Capital event of the year next week. A webcast also will be held on December 15th for our Chairman and CEO's closing meeting for the year. Please visit the investor website for information regarding these events. And as always, Joanne and I will be available all day today to take your questions. Thank you, everyone.